Welcome to the Creating Us podcast, hosted by the Office of Leader and Culture Development. I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby.
And we're excited to be with you as we go on a journey across the Texas Tech University system. All right, here we go. Shelby, how are you today?
I am doing great. It's a Tuesday, so well.
It is. It's a Tuesday, but it's a good week.
It is. It's going by pretty fast, actually.
Mm-hmm. It really is. The weather's nice until Thursday, at least. When Thursday hits, it sounds like it's going to be a different
We're in summer right now, again.
But it's better than a lot of other places, right? At least we have
not much water, better.
So we'll take that.
Yeah.
All right. So Shelby, who do we have the pleasure of spending today with?
Yes. So we have Dr. Alex Wiseman, who is the director of the Center for Innovative Research in Change, Leadership, and Education, also known as CIRCLE, at Texas Tech University. How are you, Dr. Wiseman?
I'm great. So happy to be here.
Well, again, thank you again so much for joining us. We're really excited about this because we'll have an opportunity to talk about kind of your passion, things that you really enjoy doing. So tell us a little bit more about you, your role, and anything else that may be top of mind.
Sure. Well, I could give you the, you know, cradle to grave version, but I think I'll start with, really I'm an educator. And so maybe I'll walk through that a little bit. I'm really happy to be in the role that I am with the center, with the CIRCLE Center right now, but I'm a professor at Texas Tech as well in our Educational Leadership and Policy program, and have been a faculty member since 2001. So I'm pushing two decades here in this role. And before that, I was a high school teacher in Aztec, New Mexico, and I was a middle school English teacher in Japan before that. So I got a long history of education in my background. And that, I think, is really important to the way that I think about things. I kind of always am circling back to, no pun intended, circling back to education and what that means and how you can best communicate with communities to share information, to promote, equity, to make sure that we're always doing what's best for the students that we're working with. So that's kind of where I come from. And that's what still guides what I'm doing now. Yeah.
So what is CIRCLE? What do they do? What do y'all do? What is it about?
So we are a research center, and we're based in the College of Education at Texas Tech University. We focus mostly on education-related, policy-relevant research. It usually has a focus on leadership. That's not a surprise, I guess. And we think about agents of change or agency leading to change as part of what we do. So we work with different communities at the local, state, federal level, nonprofits, you name it, to help them in evaluating programs that might be designed to improve education in particular types of communities, or to assess an initiative that might be, geared towards ensuring that dual credit programs are appropriately linking high schools and colleges, or looking at higher education systems around community colleges and seeing what those financial models look like. Mm-hmm. Anything that helps leaders in education make informed database decisions, we're interested in being a part of that. So we've got a couple different programs. I'll keep talking about it because I really get excited about it. We really do three main things. Research is probably the main one. So that kind of blends into evaluation. We do research and evaluation around the topics I just mentioned. We also do some training and education programs. So we are the home for the Texas Education Policy Fellows Program. So this is a program that is actually led by Dr. Rebecca Height, who's also in the College of Education. It is a Texas-wide program that involves folks who are not necessarily already involved in education as a profession, but are interested in ways that they can influence, impact, support positive change in education policy. We also have a leadership training program that is done in partnership with the Professional Development Academy. We offer that program online for folks in K-12 as well as higher ed systems who are interested in enhancing their leadership capacity. And then we are involved in a host of different sort of internal programs where we provide outreach. So we do, I shouldn't say internal, they're internal in that we organize them internally, but we present them externally. So for example, today we had a virtual brown bag. It's part of our Expand Ed, get it? Expanded? Expand Ed virtual brown bag series. We had a researcher from Penn State University talking to us about teacher leadership today. And we have people from all over the country, and in fact, for this one, all over the world who joined for those since they're virtual brown bags. So we keep ourselves busy at the center.
Seems like it.
Yeah, it really does. You brought up change, and obviously that's as part of a lot of what you all do in encouraging, fostering, supporting. How have you all found success in empowering others to work through change? Because we know that it's difficult for a lot of people when we're talking, and you know, the policy world is not something I'm very familiar with, but change in itself can be difficult.
Yeah, so change takes on a couple different flavors. You can have mandated change, which you often get through formal policies or laws or mandates. And so we'll work with entities that we're partnering with to help them think through how their policies are being fulfilled and whether or not there are any unintended consequences for that. That's always important to consider. We have a very heavy emphasis on making sure that the stakeholders in any community, so usually the people who are the target of the policy, are a part of that process so that they are not just being told to change or they have things sort of foisted upon them, but that they are part of the leadership and decision-making that leads to whatever the change is, and that those changes are things that the community just frankly wants and can sustain. I think, just to pause on that for a second, I think that's one of the most important things that we do as a center through our programs, is being very purposeful and inclusive in the way that we work with our community partners, so that we aren't sort of coming in, you know, sweeping in as we're the experts, we have all the answers, and then, you know, we leave and everything crumbles. I've seen that happen a lot, unfortunately. And sometimes, you know, as a result of, I've made mistakes, and you know, I'm sure as a center we've made mistakes, but we try very hard to make sure that we're doing that. And then change also can be a very slow burn. I mean, there are lots of things that happen over time, not because there's any particular initiative that you know, is implemented and then, you know, everything's different, you know, a month, 6 months later, but because there might be a change in culture or a change in attitudes or a change in values that might not be a dramatic shift. It might be something that becomes normed or legitimized over time as a result of sort of small activities or small movements that we'll make. So for example, we at the center, we're working with a couple of school districts in West Texas who are really trying to, A, sort of solve their lack of teacher problem. There's a big teacher shortage in a lot of places around the country, but certainly in West Texas, it's a pretty strong one. And one of the ways they're doing that is by trying to emphasize different types of sort of instructional coaching models or teacher leadership models or teacher agency models. And although we aren't teacher educators ourselves, there's another part of the College of Ed that does that, not our center. We do work with the districts and the leaders at the campus level and the district level, and try to connect it to the state as well, to help them think about which of the initiatives they're implementing are really making a difference, are really moving the needle. And as you may or may not know, or others may or may not know, you know, there are, when you're in a situation where you've got a crisis, you're usually throwing everything you can at it to try to solve it, which means that it's really hard to figure out which of those things you're throwing at it is having the real impact, is really making the change. Or maybe it's a combination. Maybe you need to, you know, throw five things at it in order for one little thing to happen. And so what we do is we try to help decision makers and policymakers and leaders in those situations have the data and the evidence, and frankly, the expertise that we bring to support them in figuring out, you know, where is that big difference? Where are we making an impact? Which of these is the one that we should focus more on than the others? That's also just to be very practical, that's also a resource issue. It's a lot of things that play into that. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, we go back to your teaching background. Yeah. And I also have a teaching background, so I relate to that. And probably also am attributing my leaving to the teacher shortage as well. But
that's why there's a problem. I see.
It's only me. You know, I'm the problem. It's me. I'm just kidding. That was Taylor Swift. I don't know if anybody will catch that, but yes. So thinking about those teachers, you know, obviously teachers make a big impact on a lot of people's lives. Who has been an impact on your life and your leadership skills?
Yeah, thanks for that question. This is probably going to seem weird, but I have a positive example and I have a negative example. And I think both of them have been equally influential on my ideas about leadership and how I practice leadership. The more negative example, although this person was really a very sincere, intelligent, well-meaning person. So this is not a personal attack, and I'll withhold a name here. But when I was a brand new high school teacher in Aztec, New Mexico, way back when, my very first school principal was also new at the school that year. And this was not his first job as a principal. So he's coming from another school, been very successful there, came to this high school, and he was fired by the school board before the winter break. So he made it not even a whole semester. And a part of the reason for that and why it's made such a big impression on me was, just to refer back to something we've already kind of discussed, is he was very interested in making quick changes. He wanted a lot of turnaround in a very short time. I loved my time at Aztec High School. It was not the highest achieving school in the district at the time. And so all the things that he was trying to implement, I thought were, looking back on them, I mean, they were pretty good ideas. What he never did, though, was get the engagement with the teachers, with the community members and parents, with the, I mean, most importantly for his job, I guess, the school board. He just was sort of I'm gonna charge ahead. We're gonna fix this, you know, damn the torpedoes type thing. And it was a resounding disaster. And I think about that every time I'm working with someone who's really fired up and excited to move forward, because that's a good thing, right? You want people who are passionate about what they're doing. But you do also have to think strategically about, you know, who are we working with and what are the priorities in the community, and how can the priorities for change blend with the priorities that the community is bringing to the table? And so I think about that a lot. And I think that's one of the reasons why we even today in our center and in the work that we do with our community partners, we're always trying to make sure that we're engaging them from before the beginning, you know, before we even start the process, where we're making sure that we have the right people at the table, that everybody who needs to have a voice has a voice. Because what we want is not just for some big change to be made, you know, and then implemented and then sort of fizzle. We want whatever we do to be sustainable for the long haul and to really bring the results that the community needs and the community wants. So that school principal is probably one of the earliest and biggest influences on me in terms of leadership, because I really, as a, you know, fresh-faced, you know, young teacher, I was like, man, this guy is going to change the world. And then he was gone. You know? And I was like, well, I guess he's not changing it here.
Not at Aztec.
No.
Yeah.
And the other person who made a big impact on me, and I'm very thankful to say this is someone who is still a colleague and a friend, and I will give a name here. It's David Baker at Penn State University. He was my dissertation committee chair when I did my PhD there. And I'm not thinking about him in terms of leadership for my own personal research, but he did operate a research group, which I thought was I got a lot out of that experience. But the takeaway I have, because he was a very sort of laissez-faire guy, you know, you could show up, and if you produce something, you know, we talk about it, you know, you ran a new analysis, or you had a new idea, or you'd done some background research and you're bringing it to the team. It was very subtle, but there were benefits and rewards that went with that. Not anything overt. It's not like, you know, he handed you a wad of cash or anything, but there would be, you know, you'd get a little more responsibility or a little more independence. Your project, you all of a sudden you're the first author on a paper. You know what I mean? Little things like that, that were really ways of incentivizing small increases or small changes in what we were doing. I really loved that approach, and I loved the freedom and the flexibility to basically, if I wanted to, you know, blow it off and not do anything, great. I can still come to the meetings, but nothing's going to happen that I'm interested in. But if I wanted to make a change, and if I wanted to be part of it, I could bring those ideas. And if I put in, you know, really not that much effort to move it forward, I could have a much more interesting, fun, and engaging time. And that's something that I probably don't do as well as he did. But I do think about that in the work that I do with the center, and the work that I do in our academic program, and the work that I do in other roles, that I want to encourage people who are interested in contributing. Mm-hmm. Because if they're contributing in ways that align with whatever our strategic goals are, it's kind of a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. So, you know, I am at this experience where in just a few weeks, I go for my defense. And, you know, as you mentioned, your chair, I think about mine as well, and how many of the lessons that I know he was teaching me, I haven't realized until far later, right? And I know there are even more as I went through final edits. And, you know, it was really about empowering, building that confidence to say, yeah, you know, why not this? Well, because of, and it was developing me in ways that I didn't realize. While I was frustrated and annoyed and like, why are we doing this? There was still value. So as we think about your work with students, mm-hmm, how do you take those lessons to empower or really inspire them?
Well, I mean, there's a very practical side to it, where, you know, if you provide the resources and the knowledge and the skills, at least on the basic level, and say, here's the menu of options, these are the tools that you need. One of the things I do is I really leave it up to them. I also, you should know, I have the rare blessing that I only work with doctoral students. So the students that I work with are adults. Most of them have a job and a family. I mean, these aren't, earlier in my career, I was working with, you know, undergrads and freshmen. And now I guess when you get old, they give you the older people. So I get to work with them. So it's really very much the approach where if they have the tools they need, I will tell them, this is what you can do with those tools. And if you want, I will support you and we'll move forward that way. And then, you know, you can participate in these projects that we have, or we can publish something, or, you know, write a book, whatever you want to do, you know, make a change. I'm all for that. But I do provide a lot of a lot of rope, right? Because it could end up the wrong way as well. They can do a lot with it. Some of them, it's a real, it takes a lot of self-control maybe, or self-discipline, mm-hmm. And self-understanding for a lot of folks to be, you know, to contribute with that kind of a model. I find that a lot of folks that we work with, both through the center as well as students, they want us to, they want me to tell them what they should learn and what they should do. And I can do that. I can say, here are the things that I think are important. But I think as you guys probably know, and hopefully others as well, you know, there's not always one right answer. I'm not talking about 2 + 2 = 4 here. We're talking about how do you reform and adjust education with a capital E, mm-hmm. In the state, in the country, across communities. And because we're talking about leadership and policy at sort of that system level, there are a lot of correct answers. There are a lot of different sort of permutations of what works that could fit well. But I like to give them enough leeway that they can make that decision on their own, and then support them as far as I can, so that, you know, whatever direction they've headed in will hopefully be successful. But they have to take the lead at some point. And I think that's just a part of the nature of the beast when you're working with, you know, students that are at that stage.
Yeah,
but I think it's also a great time to, again, encourage that you have to lead this.
Right.
No, I'm not going to be here to tell you, here's the next step. You've got to figure it out. And at least in my experience going through a doctoral program, that has probably been the most beneficial, is that you're not going to have people standing there saying, oh, right. Hey, go do this. Instead, right. it's up to you to figure that out.
That's right.
So some great lessons that can really be beneficial. I'm sorry, please go ahead.
No, I just wanted to point, you know, one of the things that, and this is a word that I use with my students a lot, I talk about them sort of finding their own voice, which I know is kind of a cliched term, but it's really easy to see, especially when they write something, if they're writing a policy brief or they're writing something that they're going to do. The more that students quote other people, the less they're really inserting their own ideas into it. And the same is true when they're designing something or they're initiating something. It really, I mean, that's the point at this level. We're not looking for folks who can just follow those instructions really well. We're trying to find people who can take all of the different skills and you know, knowledge that they've gleaned over the course of however many years of formal education as well as informal mentoring, and put that together in unique combinations that address a specific community's needs at a specific time in history for some specific outcomes that they determine in partnership with their community. And so I just wanted to shoot that in there because I think that's really important, that leadership isn't about sort of following this formula for what a good leader is. As I think all of us know, there are so many different models for what leadership can be. And I have yet to see a truly good leader that followed a particular model to the letter.
You don't have a rubric.
Yeah.
For what a leader should be.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. Time has been flying.
Yeah.
So out of that, Shelby, I'd love to get some final thoughts.
Yeah. So I have just really enjoyed getting to know more about Circle, or is it the Circle? Circle? Just Circle?
The one and only.
How many times can I say Circle? I'm not sure. But yeah, so it's been really enjoyable getting to know more about that. And I just want to thank you for coming on here with us and giving us a little bit of your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
And Dr. Wiseman, again, thank you. It's always great to have these conversations with you. Insightful, great lessons learned. And I think, you know, as you were driving home really that final point there, and the fact that there's always more than one way, and there's significant power in opinions, right? And that knowledge, and how do we interpret? And I think what a great lesson to really encourage others that if you have an idea, if you have thoughts, build on them, leverage them, because you never know what type of positive effect you can implement. So I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Creating Us podcast. If you have any comments or questions, please let me know at jason.weber@ttu.edu. Until next time, I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby.
Take care.